Episode 2 of This Is Us 2 is brought to you by Minute with Mary, the best place to discover new makeup and uncover your confidence as a woman. So head on over to MinuteWithMary.com or search the hashtag Minute with Mary on Facebook and start the road to a new confident you.
I like to think that maybe one day you'll be an old man like me. Talking a younger man's ear off, explaining to him how you took the sourest lemon that life has to offer and turned it into something resembling lemonade. If you can do that, then you will still be taking 3 babies home from this hospital. Maybe not the way you planned.
From Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to the show This Is Us on NBC, so sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I never thought I'd be so happy to see Major Dad again in my life. Major Dad made my life. Wow, that was some good old memories from back in like 1992.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Watching it with Ma Larson and Papa Larson.
Little did I know that this is what was going through your mind when we watched this episode.
Oh my goodness.
Yay.
Well, welcome.
Love it.
Welcome.
Yes.
This is the actual first episode of This Is Us 2. Well, I mean, we had a premiere episode, but this is like the first...
This is the first real episode where we're going to dive deep into an episode of the show. Of course, this is about the pilot episode, the first episode of This Is Us. Mm-hmm. Now, we are well aware that This Is Us has been on TV for a little while. Mm-hmm. This is not coming out when the show is brand new.
No, not at all.
We're a little late to the party.
We're actually 2 seasons late to the party.
But it's all good because, you know, this show is worth podcasting about. And I'm really excited to do this with you, Blake. And for those of you who've already watched the show, we would love for you to either rewatch or just listen to these podcast episodes and feel like, oh, yes. Oh, I loved that episode or that episode. Yeah, I felt this way. And if you have not yet watched This Is Us, now's the time.
You know what I was thinking about? Because, you know, I got a little worried because we have never done a podcast like this late. I mean, we've always done. Like when we did The Leftovers, it was from the beginning. When we did Outlander, it was at the beginning. Mm-hmm. When we did Gilmore Girls, it was at the beginning of the Netflix series.
Correct.
So it was always at the beginning. But I've thought about it like this. You know how, like, you go talk to a friend and you're like, you got to watch Gilmore Girls. Or you got to watch Breaking Bad. Or you got to watch Lost. Oh, you got to watch Battlestar Galactica. I wish I could, like, you know, weird light thingy memory away from, you know, like Men in Black.
Okay.
And like wipe my memory away and watch those shows over again and relive how amazing Lost was, right?
Yes.
Or relive how amazing Breaking Bad was.
Or Parks and Rec.
Yeah, you know, like go back and just like totally forget what the hell happened in Parks and Rec.
Yes, I know. And have it for the first time. And we may be that.
We're going to be that for you. We will be this for you. We will crazy light thingy your memory away, and you'll get to outlive or relive the experience of This Is Us through our virgin eyes.
And once again, if you haven't watched it, now's a fun time to start.
Right. Why not?
Yes.
You know, and watch it with us.
Exactly.
We're all family. Screw it.
So we finished the first episode of This Is Us. And Blake, how do you connect to this episode?
Oh, the birth. No question. When my wife was giving birth, and I was obviously the person that you're listening to on the other voice of this show, when Mary was giving birth, I just felt helpless. I felt like there was nothing I could do. She was in a lot of pain for our first child, our son. And I just remember being confused, not knowing what was going to happen, because we had our doula. She was standing up on my wife's bed, and my wife was on all fours, and they had this long cloth that is called a rebozo, I guess. And they had to manually reposition my son Reese, and we had to. She was there, like it was like. It was like shining a bowling ball. That's what it looked like to me.
Except it was my belly.
It was your belly. And the amount of pain that you were in was, I was confused. I was lost. I was hurt. Like, I felt totally emasculated because there was nothing I could do for my wife. And I always feel like it's the husband's duty to be there to provide and protect his wife. And I couldn't do that at all. So that is how I related to this episode, because the mass confusion and the sense of being overwhelmed, it really hit me. It really made me feel like, man, this is real stuff here. This is someone who has been through that experience and knows exactly how to put it on paper and doing a much better job than I could right now. We'll put it that way.
Just so you know, the name of this podcast is This Is Us Too, meaning This Is Us Also.
T-O-O, not T-W-O.
And we're going to give each episode a rating. And we figured after this episode, it was a no-brainer. It was like, what is our rating scale going to be on? Because
each of our podcasts all have rating systems. Mm-hmm. For The Leftovers, it was Damon's after Damon Lindelof. For Outlander, it's Kilts. For Gilmore Girls, when we did You've Been Gilmore, it was Cups of Coffee.
Yep.
For This Is Us, My Darling, what are we doing?
Lemonade.
Yes.
So it's going to be at a 1 to 5 for the episode. Right. And if the episode's great, it'll be 5 lemonades. And if it's 1, it'll be 1 lemonade.
Or anything in between.
Yes, or anything in between. Exactly. So for me, this episode was a 5. I thought it was a fantastic pilot. I got already all the feels. I will go into all these reasons later, but this episode got 5 lemonades from me. How about you, Blake?
4.9.
That's one of the highest ratings you've ever given anything.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I reserve.
I'm shocked.
I reserve 5s for very special episodes of television. Mm. Like, perfect episodes of television.
Okay.
Perfect.
So let's find out what wasn't perfect. The next thing we're going to talk about is what we thought was good in an episode.
The bad. And the great. For short, we call it the GBG.
The GBG.
So,
the GBG.
My love, what is your GBG for the pilot episode of This Is Us 2? Why did you give it a 5?
Okay, so my good was when Kevin came home during Kate and Toby's date, because he comes home and you could tell Toby was like, oh my God, you have a hot boyfriend. Oh my God, you have a hot roommate. What is going on? This is crazy. It's the Manny. Oh, it's your brother. The humor that went on and how Toby handled it and everything, I just loved it. I loved that entire... I just love Toby. my bad was the smoking in the hospital. And even though that was the coolest transition to make you realize, that was the moment you truly got smacked in the face that this is in the past, that this is actually a flashback, because obviously you can't smoke in hospitals. But then when they panned out and you got to see everyone's attire, I became so uncomfortable with how many people were smoking in a hospital.
And how thick the smoke was.
Oh my God.
Like you could cut it with a knife.
And it was like... I got so uncomfortable, I feel like I started to cough. So that made me uncomfortable. And then my great for this episode was the chat with Jack and the doctor.
Oh, yeah, okay. Major dad.
Yeah, that we even had some of it in the beginning. That's when I cried. That's when I cried. So I feel like all my greats for this show are going to be like when I cried. But Blake, what was your GBG? What was your good, bad, and great?
You see, I feel like we're kind of in the same vein here. My good for this was the reveal at the end. And, you know, the ending for a pilot is so important. Mm-hmm. And they took everything that you had questions about and they gave you a wrap up in a certain way. Like they revealed it that this was going to be a flash forward, flashback type show. They gave you the emotional catharsis of the two kids and then the adoption. They gave the answer to what happened to Randall, all in one thing, but it left you with more questions. And it wrapped it up, but it helped propel you. It had more momentum going forward.
Yes.
And that was just excellent. The bad. I was not a huge fan of the conversation between Randall and his dad when Randall first showed up.
Okay.
It was like so mean. It was like, I got that car. I bought it for cash because I felt like it. And F you, da 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 da. And he's like, you want to come in? He's like, yeah. And I just felt, the show felt so natural to me.
Okay.
But this part felt written to me.
I would say that this part felt really awkward, meaning that that's probably how things happen in life when you're dealing with something really crazy like yeah, that. But I can appreciate.
It was so like disparate, you yes. know, the two tones. Mm-hmm. Like it was so mad. Then all of a sudden it was like, yeah, I'll come in. And then it was, I hate you and I just want to say screw you and storm out. You want to come see your kids or your grandkids? It's like. I wasn't a big fan of that.
Okay.
And that's why I have to give it a 4.9 because okay. that took it down a step for me.
I can appreciate it. How about your great?
The great. It, like you, my love, it was the conversation yes. between Major Dad and Jack.
Mm-hmm.
So emotional. So it's fatherly. It's tender. It's what I want any doctor in my life to be like.
Yes, yes.
That was the moment that you got that full emotional catharsis. Mm-hmm. When you get that full wallop of this is what this show is capable of doing emotionally.
Yes.
And ultimately, when it comes down to it, I think that's what's going to matter most to this show. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But that is my good, bad, and great. But for now, my darling, are you ready to get into the show? Anything else you got to say?
You bet.
All right, let's do it. Well, Marvin, the title for this episode is called Pilot. Now, it's not, there's no pilots in this episode. There's no, you know, planes or whatever. It's just that whenever, especially a network television, whenever they come up with a brand new show, they create or they film the first episode and then they say, okay, we're going to go sell this to networks or we're going to go sell this to NBC or ABC or CBS or whatever. And then the network will decide, oh, I like this show. I like the pilot, the first premiere episode. Let's go make some more of it. So the pilot, what we just saw, was shot well before the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had to get it approved. And then it was ordered to season. They order a specific amount. And then we have a full season of television. So that's why it's called pilot. And for pretty much any episode of television that you watch, unless it's already ordered to full season before it's even produced, every first episode will be called pilot. And that, a little bit of a television
look at you.
Television knowledge there.
I love that.
The director of this episode, actually two guys, Glenn Ficarra and John Requa. These guys are actually the main directors of the show. They're one of the main producers of the show. They actually have directed a couple of different movies, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot with that one with Tina Fey.
Mm-hmm.
They directed that movie Focus with Will Smith and Margot Robbie. And they also directed a favorite of mine, Crazy Stupid Love, the one with Ryan Gosling and Steve Carell, Emma Stone. Just that movie. That's like the precursor, I feel like, to La La Land.
Okay.
Because you could see the chemistry there All between
right.
the two.
Okay.
Good stuff. And the writer of this episode was actually the showrunner, Dan Fogelman. He actually co-runs the show with Don Todd, another writer. And Fogelman has actually written screenplays for Cars, the movie.
Love.
Fred Claus.
Love.
Bolt.
Love.
That's a favorite of our children. he wrote the story for Cars 2, which not a big fan of.
No.
Not going to lie.
Didn't love as much.
Wrote the screenplay for the movie Tangled.
Love.
I know you love. He actually wrote Crazy Stupid Love, the movie. He wrote The Guilt Trip, the one with Seth Rogen and Babs. And he also wrote a couple of episodes of the show Grandfathered, the one with John Stamos, when he becomes a grandfather out of nowhere.
I haven't watched that one.
Neither have I.
Anything like that existed. I may have to Google that.
And he's also created the shows Gallivant and Pitch, and he was the showrunner for another show prior to this called The Neighbors.
Okay, all right. Awesome.
So that is that. So what you're getting here is you're getting the A-team. You're getting the A team for the pilot episode.
I love it.
So, my darling.
Yeah.
What did you think? I know you gave this episode a 5.
I gave it a 5. I gave it a straight up 5 because it moved me in many ways, and I ate it all up. And part of the reason that I ate it all up right away was the 36th birthday, because I'm turning 36 in a mere couple of months. And I don't know why. I'm not really excited about this year.
You're on the downward end.
Thank you.
the downward end.
Thank you.
You're pumped. Well into the 30s.
I was pumped for 35. I was like, this is so cool. When there's a 0 or 5, I really am excited. And now, I don't know. And I really connected with so many of these characters. And that is what shook me and why I believed that we needed to do this as a podcast. Because I've always said to Blake, I need to love a character. I need to cheer for a character. I really need to love someone.
You need a Hurley.
Yeah. Not her, but
yes,
sure.
you need a Hurley.
To love, that I really care about, that I want to see them succeed, or I want to be there for them. And this pilot episode made me feel that way about many characters, all of whom were 36. And I'm going to be 36.
Right.
So the first thing that I noticed I connected with was the thought about hope and or positive thinking. I'm all about the law of attraction.
Oh my God,
about the secret and the law of attraction and putting out positivity into the universe, and that's what you get back. And when Jack was there in the delivery room and saying, no, you don't understand, we are leaving with 3 babies. Mm-hmm. We have this stuff. That's how I often talk. Right. I hope I do this. No, I speak in the tense of this is happening. This is what I have decided. This is what I am doing. And I am working towards this goal. And I saw that. And I went, oh my God, Jack's a believer of the law of attraction. Jack's a believer of positive thinking. I love Jack. I love him.
Right.
And he's 36, just like me. And they don't even have a flipping bed. Did you notice that? They just had mattresses on the floor.
I did. I did notice that.
And we have a really crummy mattress. And there's part of me that's like, oh man, we're 35. And, you know.
Our mattress sucks.
It does.
It's one of those foam mattresses that's probably about 10 years too old.
But at least. It's like a hand-me-down from a hand-me-down. But on the flip side, I've been beating myself up about, both of us have been beating ourselves up about this mattress and thinking, you know, we're supposed to be so much more established and put together and, you know, be like real adults by the time you're 36. And I loved this. I loved how these characters are just starting their family at 36. So many people, especially nowadays, I mean, 36, having kids at 36 in that day and age was old.
Yeah, this was like 1980-ish.
You know, so it's like, it was the older crowd if you were going to be having kids then. And now people are having families later on in life. Mm-hmm. And I have friends who are debating, like, is 36 too old to get pregnant? Is 36 too old to have kids? And it's not. And I loved that. And I loved seeing them mattresses on the floor, because there are so many people who think that things are supposed to be perfect, because that's what we see on Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest and what you see in TV shows. And then this TV show shows you people who are 36.
In an apartment. With those old radiators.
Yes. With their mattress on the floor, and you love them. And you see how fully grateful they are for their life and their love with each other and their excitement for these babies, because that is what matters. Mm-hmm. They have a full life at 36. Don't matter that there's just a mattress on the floor. They are loved and they are welcoming 3 babies into this world.
Right. And the beauty of this opening, the beauty of the opening is that it tells you so many different things in a short scene. Mm-hmm. It tells you so many. They live in Pittsburgh because he has the terrible towel.
Yep.
That means he's a Steelers fan. Mm-hmm. And another thing that they do, too, is that they tell you right up front that this is 1980. They tell you right up front. You want to know why?
Tell me.
Because they show you the box with the family photos. Mm-hmm. It says 75 to 79. Now, when you're watching it the first time, you don't know.
It's like, the first shot. It's like it's a sweeping, moving. Yes.
You feel like, okay, that's just an old box. You know, they're moving, you know, whatever. And maybe that's why there's only mattresses on the floor, because they're moving.
Oh.
Did you ever think of that, maybe?
Nope. I just thought, oh.
No, let's think about it the other way. Because
they're not,
you know,
put together just like us.
It makes us feel better about ourselves.
We have a bed, but we have a really crummy mattress, so it's all, you know.
But it tells you that they are madly in love immediately. He is still very attracted to his wife. By the way, I will also admit, I don't think I've ever found my wife as more attractive as than when she was pregnant. I
Get
thought,
out.
Seriously, you were smoking. Not to say you were, but you were smoking hot when
you were
pregnant.
It's because I had acid reflux.
She used to get up in the middle of the night, stretch out her neck like a giraffe, you know, be like, I'm breathing like a dragon.
That's all I would say. I feel like a dragon.
But it tells you a lot about these characters, mm-hmm. and they have these traditions and the dance and the whole thing.
Traditions. Ugh.
And they have the dance and he wants it. And it's just a great opening scene. Mm-hmm. And then to give the payoff the way that they did at the end of the episode was spectacular.
It was brilliant. It really was brilliant.
Because, you know, listen, I am not a huge fan of network television. I'm just not. And call me an elitist. Call me a snob. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to take that. No problem. I specifically watch either cable network shows or pay network like HBO Stars pretty exclusively. I think the last one I watched was actually Hannibal on, oddly enough, NBC. And going into this show, I was a little worried because I was afraid that we were going to get the same kind of writing that you would normally get from a network television show. Mm-hmm. You know, like mediocre to subpar. But this really wasn't. In fact, I would argue that this premiere episode, if you really wanted to dig dirty into it, you could make this whole premiere episode a movie unto itself.
Yes.
You could totally make it a movie unto itself.
Yes.
It would be like one of those mid-range, you know, low-budget dramas. Mm-hmm. But it would be a fantastic movie, especially with the reveal at the end. Because that reveal does so much. It expands the world. And they talk about at the beginning of the episode with the words in the opening statements of the show, the saying that, you know, there are 18 million people per day that share the same birthday. There's nothing that says that they're connected in any other way. And then you realize that these are the parents and these are their kids.
I love it. I love it.
And it blows your mind away because it opens up the scope of this show in any way that it wants to go. If it wants to give you the current days with the children, it can. If it wants to give you flash forwards with the children, it can. If it wants to give you flashbacks with the parents, it can. And again, it was one of the things that kind of worried me about this show because, like, all right, what are they going to be able to do? Like, what are they going to be able to show? How long can this show go on? It's going to get limited in its storytelling because, mm-hmm. you know, it's a personal little drama, and it felt like it was just going to be like this. It's going to be like that movie Crash. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Where they have all these separate people and they're all interconnecting at one point somehow, some way. But they took that connection and just went.
They made a
Guess
whole
what?
Universe.
And that was the beauty of that ending, because like I said, it gave you an emotional catharsis and left you with a bunch more questions. It propelled your momentum going into the rest of the series. And I would say that this is probably the best pilot, one of the best pilots I've mm-hmm. ever seen. Probably the only pilot, there's two pilots I think of that are better, Breaking Bad and Lost.
So it's in the top three.
It's definitely in the top three.
Correct. I would agree, and it might even be the best. I would say it's
24.
Definitely one of my top three. It's definitely one of my top three. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to let these episodes go too long, especially for those of you who are reliving This Is Us with us. But you said that this episode left you with some questions. And I think some of my questions are going to be, how are the three siblings... like, what is their relationship like now in their adult life?
Sure.
You know, we didn't get to see Randall really interact at all with his siblings. We saw the picture and we saw the Manny poster sign,
yeah.
which is amazing. But how do they interact? Are they living near each other? Like, what? Obviously, Kate and Kevin live near each other because he comes on over that quickly.
Yeah, why is Randall so separated? Like, why does he feel so distant from everybody else? Do you know what I mean?
But on the flip side, I mean, he has a family and kids, right. So he's, you know, celebrating his birthday maybe with them. But I'm just interested to see what the sibling relationship is like. I'm interested to see how, you know, the parents parent, like what their parenting style is. Like if we get to see the newborn times and how tired and everything. I mean, we've just recently left that. We have a 2-year-old and 4-year-old. So I'm interested to see.
Not going to lie.
What that's like. I did connect. So I'm going to tell you who I love. I love Jack and I love Kate.
Okay.
I love Kate because I have been battling some weight issues personally since I've had these two kids. And she said something that she said, I ate my dream life away.
Mm.
And she had all these sticky notes and you could tell she's a smart woman. And she knows like so many people who have eating issues, you know what you're not supposed to eat. You could put those sticky notes and then you put a second sticky note on that cake because you know you're going to pull that sticky note off and you have those self-talks. And I saw this and I am not 300 some odd plus pounds, but I am definitely not at a weight that I'm comfortable with. I'm not a weight that I'm proud of. I don't like how I feel about myself.
You're definitely not the blonde chick saying it's not, you don't know what it's like
to have the 7 extra pounds.
If there was one person I could probably murder on this planet, it would be her.
Stop.
Like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
And, and Toby's reaction.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, oh my God. Like, what?
I also love Toby.
Toby's great. Toby is very good. I feel like Toby
might be your spirit animal on this show.
He might be.
Jack might be mine, and yes. Toby might be yours. Right?
It's just like, he's like, when he's talking to the other lady, he's like, I'm way fatter than you, if it makes you feel any better.
I personally like that he said the dessert was his life's work.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's what you've said on a first date.
That is exactly why I relate. I should have said that was the story that I related to.
Right. The dessert issue. The emotional birth, the dessert issue.
One of the things that I related to as well, this is more of a meta commentary, and I'm so happy that this was put in. It's when when he's filming the Manny,
yep.
And he has that moment, that breakout, freak out moment. He's like, it's not the writer's fault that this show sucks. It's not my fault that this show sucks. It's not my fault that I'm famous. It's your fault. It's you, the audience's fault, because you allow us to put this crap on television and you soak it up. And I was like, that is such a great commentary.
Right? In a show, on a major network.
On a network.
That shows that aren't really good that people soak up.
It's like all the CSIs and NCISs.
And if you like that, please, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please don't let Blake offend
you. I'm judging you a little bit.
Oh my God,
I'm judging a hair. A hair. Because, like, Criminal Minds and a Bull, all those, it's all the same thing.
I don't even know.
It's all the same show. Anyway, I loved that moment because I thought that was just a great commentary by Fogelman on the current state of the second golden age of television, which is, again, fantastic. My darling, yep. You have anything else? Any final thoughts?
The other thing that I loved that I just need to make sure I can say is when Kate says, repeats the phrase that I guess Dad Jack used to say. What did Dad say about lemons? There's no lemon so sour that you can't make something resembling lemonade.
Right.
And I love that. Once again, for her to have said that at 36 years old,
right?
You know,
it shows you how powerful that statement is, how often that's said in their lives.
Correct.
And it wraps up all of those. I don't want to say plot lines, but it wraps up that emotional through line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the beginning of the reveal.
Yes.
for the dad.
Yep. So,
oh, just,
I love it.
Just, it was an exceptional pilot. It really blew my expectations away.
I'm really excited.
I got to admit I am too. I'm a little wary, but I'm very excited.
Like, all right.
I'm in a much better place than I thought it was going to be.
Are you ready to close up the show?
Yeah, I think I am. All right, let's do it.
So this is the first episode, and we're so excited to be bringing you more episodes. As I said, watch along with us, rewatch along with us, or just think about the episodes with us. Let us know what you think. You can find Blake and I on our main website, maryandblake.com. You can email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. We would love to engage with you on Facebook. Right now you can find us just by searching Mary and Blake. And you can use the hashtag ThisIsUs2 on social media. We would love to know your thoughts. Find us in all of your major podcast apps. Tell your friends.
And that's the best thing you do. Tell a friend that we exist.
Yeah, because this is still our brand new.
Yeah.
It's brand spanking new.
And everyone's going to say, give us reviews. Yeah, and those are all important. But tell a friend that we exist.
I'm Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is us too.